And you can be seated. Oh, I tell you what, I am just in awe this morning of the goodness of God. You know, we've had three services. We've seen God do some wonderful things already in all three. We've already enjoyed praise and worship for this one. As Brother Hagin used to say, we could go home now and said it would have been good to be there. And so we feel that way. But I know just God's got his hand for us here. It's amazing to see how easy and natural the flow is, just even between services. It's just good to be a part of this. And there's so many people that I'd like to give thanks to. There's so many things I'd like to say on the opening of a Sunday like this. Let me just say thank you to everyone who helped us, especially over the last couple of days, getting the building prepped and clean. You didn't know a building could get as dusty as this building got. I mean, you dusted one day and you're back dusting it again the next day. But all the volunteers who cleaned the baseboards and all the volunteers who came up every day, it looked like you were employees. You were up here so much. And so it's just so wonderful to see people care so much. And so for all of you volunteers who helped us get ready for this opening service, we just want to say thank you. And there's so many people we'd like to say thank you to. Our builders are here, Charlie and Sally Daniels. Billy, who's out here every day helping with the building. Flora, his mother, just a wonderful woman. We got to spend, me and my wife did, a good time with her. And she's a hoot. She's a genuine hoot. And so we're glad she's able to be here this morning. But they have just been a dream come true to work with. We look forward to using them for phase two, which is soon. We're going to build it soon. So we look forward to that. But then all the staff, you know, and all the services, I didn't get a chance to thank my staff. But with this being the last one of this Sunday, I want to say thank you to my staff. I mean, they mean the world to me. They're like family. Amen. Yeah, let's give them a hand. All of those guys, and I see Ryan down there, Ryan Lamberson, that's my brother-in-law. We set up shop here, up there in the little offices over by Fan and Mart. We set up some offices here a couple of, probably about a year or so ago. He was up here every day overseeing it, and he made this building easy for me. He handled all the dirty work. So I just got to come in and be sweet and nice and all those things. And so Ryan just did a fantastic job. I love him so much. He's like a brother to me. And of course, my mother down there. Stand up, Mama. Let the people see you. She's beautiful, isn't she? She had me when she was six. It was a sign and a wonder. So I tell you what, just her perseverance. You know, when I went off to Rhema, she held the church together. And just such a splendid woman of God. We wouldn't be here today without her. And so we give honor to where honor is due. And for all the church members, not only here, not only those who are going to join our church family, but for all the church members of years past, you know, our church, this church, Word of Life Church, has been around for over 30 years. And we've seen God just take us from place to place and from location to location. With every location, we've seen increase, and this one's going to be no different. And there have been a lot of people who have graced our seats and the last facility pews have yielded a supply to this church, that have made it what it is. And so I'm thankful, extraordinarily thankful and grateful for not just all who are here, but for all of those who laid a foundation, who paved a way for Word of Life to be in existence today. And so I'm just excited to see what God is doing, and I'm excited to see where He's going to take us. And like I said, this is a facility that in a lot of people's minds, and I'll be honest, occasionally in mine, looked like it'd be impossible to ever get over into. But God's got a way, and God's got a plan. And I'm telling you what, He can go to work even when it looks like no one's working at all. You know, often God works behind the scenes. You know, if you were to look back here after service or before service, you'd see volunteers back there working and prepping. Well, they're getting ready behind the scenes. You can't see them yet, but they're getting ready for what you can see. the praise and worship team. They were up here yesterday and Thursday night getting ready. Well, you didn't see them then, but you saw them this morning. Well, you saw the fruits of their labor, the fruits of work that you couldn't see. Well, see, that's how it is with God. Oftentimes in your life and in mine, it looks like, where is God in the middle of all this? And friend, I'm telling you, if you've ever felt that way, God is at work. You may not be able to see it, just like you weren't able to see these singers on Saturday or Thursday. But if you'll stay faithful, and if you won't quit, and if you won't persevere, and if you'll keep your hope and faith up, you'll see all the fruits of God's labor show up. Payday doesn't happen every day, but when it does come, it's sweet. And friends, I'm telling you, this is a payday. Open up your Bibles with me this morning, if you have them, to the book of Isaiah. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, all you have to do is raise your hands, and with an uplifted hand, an usher will give you a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible at all, you can keep that one. Make it your own. Once you get those Bibles, if you'll open them to the book of Isaiah chapter 61, and we'll look at verse 1. And then on the screens, if you can go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians 2 verse 16. On the screens, we're going to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. This is the scripture that the Lord gave me to share on this opening Sunday. And Isaiah 61 and verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. They may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Beauty for ashes. That's the phrase I want to talk about. Beauty for ashes. The Israelites, they were, well, expressive souls. I don't know if you've ever met anyone like that, but I know I sure have. What I mean by expressive souls is they weren't internalizing many things. If they were sad, you knew they were sad. If they were mad, you knew that they were mad. You probably have never met anybody like that. If they were happy, you knew that they were happy. They are very expressive souls. And in the Old Testament, if things went bad, if things didn't work out the way that they thought they would work out, if they made plans and those plans fell through, if they had any kind of setback or any type of devastation in their life, naturally they'd be sad on the inside. But even more than that, they'd externalize it. They would take ashes, even sometimes dirt, and put it on them. A lot of times they'd rent their clothes. You knew that they were sad. You knew that they were in trouble. They had ashes. What are ashes? Ashes are the remnants of best laid plans. You made plans, but they didn't work out. I know I've had that happen to me in life a time or two, where you come up with how you think life is going to go, how things are going to work out, but for whatever reason, it doesn't work out the way that you thought it would. It's a setback. And if you've ever had anything like that happen to you, it causes pain. In fact, the Bible calls it, in the Old Testament, a melted heart. What is a melted heart? Well, a melted heart is a heart that once had a vision, that once had a dream of what could happen in life. But because of the conditions of life, because of what's happened to them, those dreams are now nothing but a memory. That vision, it's turned into ash. I've had that happen to me before. In fact, 10 years ago, to this day, April 17th. I was a young boy, 17 years old, sitting in a classroom, science class. You know, there are some moments that are frozen in time. You know, I can remember exactly where I was on September 11th. I remember who told me the news of the World Trade Centers. I remember exactly where I was. Well, with this event 10 years ago on this day, really about this same hour, I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting in a desk. And I can't explain it other than to put it this way. On the inside, I knew my father had just gone home to be with the Lord. I mean, I knew it. I knew it like I knew my name. And there wasn't anything in the natural that I would know it by. He looked to be in good health. You know, he didn't have any medical issues. He wasn't undergoing any type of pain or anything like that that I knew about. But on the inside, I knew. Seconds ticked by. You know, there are some seconds that seem like hours. And seconds ticked by, and all of a sudden in that science class, a door opened up. There was a lady who was at the front desk who was a student teacher. She came to the door, and she said, "I need to see Joel Sims." I knew what it was about. So I can remember it like it was yesterday. I walked through that door out into the hallway. I'm walking down the hallway, and she's got tears coming down her cheeks. She doesn't even know me. She has tears running down her cheeks. She says, "You need to go over to the hospital. Your father's being rushed there by ambulance." I went over to the hospital. I was one of the first ones there because it was right across from my school. And you know, if you walk into an emergency room where someone's just been rushed in, there's panic and, you know, there's confusion. So I couldn't find anyone who could tell me what was going on. Finally, family got there, my grandparents and my mother. And they took us over into a side room. We were sitting in there. I can remember exactly where I was sitting, exactly where my mother was sitting. And the door opened up, and it was my uncle. He had on the surgical mask, but I knew who he was. He's a surgeon here in the community, wonderful man. And it's like a movie. He took off his mask and said, "I'm sorry, but we did all we could do." Melted heart. Best laid plans now turned into ash. What's once seemed possible now seems impossible. See, I had my plans. I knew the way it would go. I knew exactly what would happen, exactly what would take place. I was going to graduate from high school. I was going to go to college. I was going to go to Rhema. At college, I'd get my business degree and I'd start a business to help fund the church, and then I'd take all the organizational skills I used to build a business and bring them over into church and help my father. That was my plan. That's the direction I saw my life going in. And in one moment, every one of those plans fell apart. Every one of them. I didn't have any way of fixing them. It was out of my control. It wasn't even a result of my doing. I didn't miss it. I hadn't made a mistake, but life shifted. I never will forget it. I was walking down that hallway at the hospital. I walked outside, went underneath an overhang there at the hospital, looked over at a field thinking, "What in the world am I going to do now?" It didn't seem real. It's like you're dreaming, but there's no one there who can wake you up. And it was funny, after second service, my grandmother was here for the 10 o'clock service, niece Porter, and she was actually with my father when he went home to be with the Lord. And she came out there and put her arm around me, and I asked her, I remember it after she told me, I asked her, what am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? I mean, I was thinking, what would happen to the church? What's going to happen to my mom? What's going to happen to me? And I remember my grandmother telling me, Joel, you've been taught your whole life what God can do. And you're about to see Him go to work. And friends, I tell you, in that moment, it didn't seem like God could be working. It looked like ash. But here we are, 10 years to the hour, standing here in this place, this church stronger than ever before, doing more than ever before, greater attendance than ever before. What is this? It's beauty for ashes. It's joy for mourning. It's a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. God has been good. He has been faithful. And friend, I'm telling you, in your life and in mine, there are times and there will be times where it looks as if things are on shaky ground. Friend, in those moments, all you and I can do is to do what we know to do, to run the race that's been set before us with patience, trusting that when we do the will of the Lord, we will not labor in vain. In Philippians 2 and verse 16, this is the scripture my father started this church with. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. My father worked for 20 years, him and my mother, to build Word of Life Church. And when he passed away on that day, it looked as if all of his labors would be in vain. It looked as if the church would completely fall apart. That years and years of work and study and prayer and effort would be put forth into something that could disappear within a matter of months. But see, this is the thing with God. When you know you're walking in His will, when you know you're doing all that you can do to stand firm and stand in faith, all the efforts that you put forth, they won't be in vain. You can put forth those efforts trusting that in due season you will reap if you faint not. And even though it looks like the vision may tarry, if you will wait for it, it will not lie. It will surely come to pass. What he saw in his heart years ago was a church on Lakeland Drive. God led him out here when there wasn't nothing else out here, before the malls and the Walmarts. He led him to this place. Told him to build a church here. They took out all the woods and built out a pad and parking lot. And then he was gone. For years, everyone wondered, what in the world is that parking lot doing out there on Lakeland Drive with no building? Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. For God will make everything beautiful in its time. Go over the book of John. Book of John chapter 6. The Lord gave me this scripture the other day. I was studying and came across it. And I tell you what, it just blessed me. How many of you know that Jesus is the expressed image of God? When you're reading about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you're not just reading about Jesus, you're seeing God on the earth. Jesus made the famous statement, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So whatever you saw Jesus do, you can see a characteristic of the Father. In fact, Jesus said, I don't do anything or say anything unless my Father tells me to do it or tells me to say it. Jesus is the expressed image of God. If you want to know how God feels about sickness, look at Jesus. If you want to see how God treats hurting people, look at Jesus. Jesus is the expressed image of God. And here we see a characteristic of Jesus, which also sees us, and we get to the chance to see not just how he operates, but how God does as well. And in John chapter 6, we see Jesus feeding the multitudes. He's feeding thousands upon thousands of people. In fact, some of us and some theologians say that at this time, Jesus was feeding close to 20,000 people. Now, I don't know how big your family is, but I know around my family table, even if it's just me and my wife and my two kids eating, I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. When we get together to eat, there is a mess afterwards. Much less if it's a big family reunion. Think about all the food that's left over and all the food that can sometimes go to waste. Well, here we're talking about feeding thousands of people. So you can imagine how much food was left over, how much food was on the ground, and all of those things. Well, what happened to all that food? Watch what Jesus tells them to do in verse 12. John 6 and verse 12, it says, "And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples," look at this, "gather up the fragments." That word fragments means broken pieces. "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Notice this about our Lord. We're seeing the Father in motion here. There were fragmented pieces of bread and fish, broken pieces. And God didn't want them to be left on the ground. He cared about them. He cared enough about them to tell the people to pick every one of the fragments up so that nothing be lost. He cared about the broken pieces. He cared about what other people weren't even thinking about. And friends, there are times in your life where it looks like life is just fragmented into a whole bunch of pieces. Where it just seems, how can anything worthwhile come out of this? And when you feel that way, you've got to know that our God in heaven longs to pick up all the fragmented pieces. He longs to have nothing in your life be lost. He longs to help you spirit, soul, and body. That's the kind of God that we serve. He sees all the pain, and he wants to make it up to you. He wants to give you something to be excited about. He wants to give you something to put on the garment of praise for. And friends, when I look over this auditorium, I see all the people who have come through here today. And I think back to where I was 10 years ago at this very hour, going back home to a house where there was no father waiting for me when I got there. I checked out of school that day, of course, and drove over the reservoir to where we were living. And at that moment, my life was shattered into fragments. And here I stand today, 10 years to the day, my life was torn apart. My life was fragmented and I felt all alone. 10 years to the day. And I look at my life and I look at what God has done. And I look at my family. I told the other services, I woke up this morning, you know, trying to be real spiritual. You know, you're getting ready for church service, and so you want to be prayed up and all of those things. And, you know, all week people are asking, are you nervous? Are you nervous? And, no, I'm not nervous. If you keep saying, are you going to be nervous? And I might get a little nervous. And so, you know, I could feel my nerves starting to get going. And so I was laying in bed praying, and I was going to get up to pray. And so I'm being all spiritual, and I walk out into my living room area. And my daughter there, who's 4 years old, her name's Avarice, I call her Sis, is crying. So I ask her, Sis, what's wrong? She said, I slipped. I said, well, you're okay. You're a big girl. You don't need to cry. And so, you know, I was consoling her, those kinds of things. And then I kept walking, and I realized I was standing in what she slipped in. See, my son, he's potty trained. But a couple of times, he hasn't made it quite to the potty. And this is one of those times. And so in the midst of me trying to be spiritual and in deep prayer and in deep thought, I'm realizing how deep this situation is. And so I start cleaning it up, and then I pick my daughter up, and I take her over to the sink, and I'm washing her hands and feet, and we're having to get her redressed because she really did slip in it. And so we're getting her redressed and all of those things. And I couldn't help but laughing at myself for the situation and how fun it was. But then I looked down and I realized how blessed I am. These kids, my wife. Isn't she beautiful? She got up and did the intro. That was my wife. I know what you're thinking. How did she get him? God was good to her. But looking at that, like I was telling the guys in the back room before service, they're telling me about, you know, we had to put out chairs for first service and overflow room for second service. And I was just laughing because I can remember months ago when the Lord was telling me to go to three services. I was so nervous. Just where are all the people going to come from and how are we going to fill it all up? And, you know, you don't want to open up a brand new building with three services and it'd be half full. And I can remember just sitting there praying those things, and the Lord just spoke to my heart as clear as I'm talking to you now and said, people will not be a problem. And I look and see His goodness. I see this building that was once almost a hopeless dream. I see it a reality. I see all the people and all the faces. It's beauty. It's beauty for my ashes. It's joy for my mourning. I've got a reason to put on a garment of praise. And it's not just by faith anymore. You know, sometimes you got to put it on by faith. But I have a reason. Friends, God can do the same thing for you. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. You got to know there's beauty on the other side. There may be some things you don't understand. There are still some things today I don't understand. There may be some things you don't agree with. There may be some days you feel like doing everything but stand. But having done all to stand, stand all the more. Do what you know to do. And I'm telling you, just as God's been good to me, how I can look at my life and see how God picked up all the fragmented pieces. Think about it. He replaced even the day. We didn't plan to open up on April 17th because it was my father's homegoing. I asked my builder, originally we were going to open up in summer. I asked my builder, I said, do you think there'd be any way to open up the Sunday before Easter? Just because what better time to open up a church than right before Easter? And so eventually we worked to where we thought, yeah, we could. Well, I told that to the staff in a staff meeting. And we looked at what day it was. Saw it was April 17th. See, every year on April 17th, I remember the pain. For years, I'd remember the grief and the sadness. And God cared enough to not just give me beauty in every way, but leave that day as a day of sadness. God preordained and pre-planned before time began to replace the day, the memory of the day. And now I'll think, yes, I had defeat, but God brought it full circle all the way to victory. And yes, I had sadness, but God brought it full circle all the way to joy. And yes, I had mourning, but God brought it full circle all the way to the garment of praise. God's a fixer. He's a put back togetherer. If that's not a word, it should be. He did it for me. He did it for this church. And He'll do it for you. This I'm confident of, that He which began a good work, He will be faithful to perform it all the way to the end. Though it tarry, wait for it, for the vision will surely come to pass. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. So grateful to have you. Before you leave, let's pray. Father, we come before you.